Wow, what a beautiful morning it is, isn't it? It's good to see you this morning. If you'd like to stand with me, we're going to read in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. We're in part 3 of this section of verses. And if you have the notes, which I recommend that you grab them each week, it's the title's Peace, Part 3, Trust is what we're looking at today. So let's pray and then we'll read. Lord, I thank you so much that we can come into your presence today and we can worship you and praise you. You are a magnificent and wonderful God. And Lord, we come here for you. We come here to encourage one another in your name. We come here to grow in you, Lord, and grow in your truth. Lord, encourage us today as you've already have. I feel encouraged. I have felt encouraged very early in the morning today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your love and for your grace. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Let's read verse 4, starting in verse 4 in chapter 4 of Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, may your word transform us today. You may be seated. You know, last week we talked about gentleness and what that word gentleness meant there, of having a good picture of seeing through the spectacles of God's spectacles in the situation and gathering information and seeing it from his perspective, not rushing into things and not jumping the gun or overreacting. So as you've reflected on that message, have you had an experience that tested your gentleness this week? I've had a few. And it's been beautiful to see how God is in the midst of those situations has said, okay, you remember the message that I gave you on Sunday? Okay, we're putting it into action right now because this is a stumbling block if you let it become one. If you don't respond in gentleness the way God's gentleness is, then there's going to be a stumbling block in my own spiritual walk with him. My joy is going to be sapped. I'm going to have broken relationships because of the way I respond, because I'm not looking through his spectacles, his eyeglasses in the situation. So where grace needs to be experienced, maybe overreaction took place. Were you able to look at the situation through his eyes this week and understand that situation? Or if you got irritated by your response this week, did you ask God what caused you that irritation? What's the source of that? Why do I put certain glasses on that see from my fleshly perspective and not from his perspective? Those are the deeper questions for us individually. God, what is it that stops me from loving like you, letting your spirit move through me? So hopefully this week you've reflected on that message, and this week you'll be able to reflect on this message and what God is letting you see about yourself and how he wants to transform you, move in your life. Because he wants to transform you so that when he brings that next person to you, that you can say, look what God's doing in my life. He's moving me, and you see Jesus in me, not me. Because I used to not act this way. I used to do this instead. I used to look at situations this way. Now I see them differently because God has shown me that the ways I looked at him was wrong. And it's a beautiful thing. So that's what God wants to do in our own lives here. Now, as we look at this passage from verse 4 to 7, we're looking at, Paul has just come out of verses 1 through 3 and said, there is a struggle in the church between two women, and I need your help, church, to help resolve this issue with these two women. And then he goes into verses 4 through 7, and he talks about areas where, now, I need you to help them, but you've got to do this first before you can actually help them. And we looked at the first one, rejoicing in the Lord. Always keeping our eyes focused on him, nothing else. He is most important. He drowns out everything else. We see, when we look at him, he shows us how to handle situations better, doesn't he? When we don't look at him and we look at the situation, it just becomes different, and I stop rejoicing eventually because I lose perspective. And Paul is continually showing us through Philippians, look at the eternal perspective, look at God, don't take your eyes off of him. So rejoice in the Lord, and he says, always I say rejoice. And then we looked at the gentle spirit, be known to all men. So I'm rejoicing in the Lord, and then I'm looking through his perspective, because that word gentleness shows the idea of looking and gathering all information, seeing what's true. We're all fallen, aren't we? Because the sin in the Garden of Eden, there's brokenness. And I can't expect you to be perfect. I can't even expect you to respond correctly because you've got sinful nature fighting against the spirit nature. So I got to look through the eyes of that and give you grace, give you mercy, give you a second chance. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And that's what God does with us every single day. He sees who we are, and he gives us an abundance of love, and it pours out, and it pours out, and it pours out. And that's what he wants us to be able to do with each other. But I've got to see and understand from his perspective to be able to do that. So then he comes into verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, give thanks, giving thanks to let your requests be made known to God. And that's where we're going to sit today, is that verse 6. The verbs to be anxious and to be known, they're imperatives. And Paul's basically saying, please do this. Do this. You must. And they're in the present tense. Do this continually right now. And then the next moment, do it again. Next moment, do it again. Next moment, do it again. Don't ever stop doing this. That's the mindset that we need to have. That when I may be anxious about something, I need to make known to God what I'm anxious about. With thanksgiving. Sometimes that's harder to do in our situations. But he's encouraging the believers, it's right now to do this. We're going to, sometimes in our lives, don't we teeter-totter back and forth with peace and worry. Sometimes we totter more on the peace. Sometimes we teeter more on the worry part. And sometimes we get stuck there. Do you ever on a teeter-totter and you're with your friends and they jump off? And you're like, you fall down. You're like, okay, I can't go anywhere now. We can't really do what we're supposed to do in this. Well, God wants us to teeter on the peace side in him. And he wants us to really stay there. And it's going to take an understanding that we have about him to be able to get to that point where we can be at peace in the midst of situations that are absolutely gut-wrenching at times. Very difficult. But how do you remain peaceful in the midst of those circumstances? Well, God makes a way for that. And he wants us to stay there. There's no need for us to really go back into the worry part. There is no need. But we do that, don't we? But God's gracious. And he knows that we are broken. And he's mending us, and he's molding us, and he's helping us, and he's encouraging us to walk in that peaceful place. So, as we look at those and we talk about worry and peace being in those, there's a difference between being worried and concerned. I think we got to define this a little bit. There's a difference between worried and being concerned. Worry focuses on the problem that's unknown, or the problem where the unknown problem too much, and it stays or just focuses on it, focuses on the problem that's at hand, and it stays there. Concern sees the problem or the unknown problem, but it looks to God and trusts his help. So the concern for the believer says, okay, here's the problem, but I've got an ally with me. I've got somebody who's walking through this with me. And I'm going to bring this to this person who is God because he can handle this, because I can't. And there's a difference. We take it to him. So unchecked worry will eventually turn into fear and anxiety. And that's where we got to question ourselves in daily situations and daily circumstances that we go in. Where am I at on this teeter-totter? Am I right now presently in the peaceful place, or am I in the worried place, or have I trickled into the place where now I'm into anxiety and fear about my situation and my circumstances. Because those will, each one of those areas will affect how we handle life, how we handle people, how we respond, even when we try to not let that bother us. It affects us. One of the statistics, the anxiety statistics from the Anxiety Center, you can find this at anxietycenter.com, says on May 11, 2019, anxiety disorders affect 18.1% of adults in the United States. This is just adults. Again, as you think about this, I speak with many young people, and they suffer with it as much as adults do, if not more, with the circumstances that they're in. Approximately 40 million Americans from the ages of 18 to 54 is where this stat comes from. So we have people who are older, and we got people who are younger. So this stat could be even not very accurate because of the age brackets above and below it. It's thought that the number is as much as or closer to 30%. As many people don't seek help or are misdiagnosed or don't acknowledge themselves of having any issues with anxiety. So some people might not feel like they have anxiety, but they might have it, or they just don't talk about it, and there's a lot more people that have it. I think that number's a little higher. I think it's actually a lot higher than what it is in our culture in America. If you look at the news, it is filled with anxiety. They throw in a nice headline every once in a while just to give you a little bit of peace. And then they go to the weather, where a lot of the smiles can come out. Oh, hey, we're going to have some sunny weather today, and it's going to be great. And they're smiling, and or the rain's going to. We need rain so badly, and it's or you know you we can have even have some anxiety that can produce from the weather. We have a hurricane that's going to be coming, and you need to make sure you've got your eggs and your milk and your bread, and make sure you're not anywhere close. You might have to go to another place, but I don't have any money. I don't have any gas. I mean, what am I going to do? I have no place to go. So it can create anxiety as well. But typically, at least from my experience, the weather has been more of a pleasant part of the news than the other parts of the headlines that are very concerning. So anxiety is not uncommon for people in our culture especially, but even in the world. It's not uncommon. It's something we deal with. Everybody deals with it, and everybody handles it differently. And how do you handle it personally? The greatest fear is the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? What's going to happen tomorrow? This fear is the underlying current for all those other fears and anxieties that stem from it. We try to predict to kind of ease those fears. The news, going back to the weather, predicts, oh, hey, it's going to be sunny. 5 days from now, it might not rain, it might rain, so you can kind of plan what's going to happen. Might want to paint. A little anxiety can produce, I'm going to paint my house, I don't want it to rain and wash it all off. Hey, it's going to be sunny. Oh, I'll paint, it's going to be no problem. Kind of eases, quells that a little bit, doesn't it? But we also have stock market. If you're invested in there or thinking about investing in the stock market, they talk about the how society is going. If you're going to lose your job, not lose your job, is the economy is going well or not well. They predict what the future is, what's going to take place, so that you can plan for the future, so you can be confident. Also, sports games, something that's supposed to be a little bit of fun, but hey, well, you might want your team to win so badly. I'm just not sure if they are or not. So that they might talk up a good game for your team, and it gives you a little bit of ease. Oh, yeah, they're going to win, no problem. And then they end up losing. Because we don't know the outcome of those things. But we try to give comfort by telling the future. Sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where somebody's going through something difficult, and you say, it's going to be okay. God's got that. It's going to be okay. He's in control. Don't worry about it. You ever tell somebody those things? Can you guarantee any of those things I just said? I can't. I can say that he's in control. That part I can guarantee. But I can't guarantee what his controlled part of the outcome is. But I can encourage him to trust God in the midst of it. And that's where our role is. That's what we have to be right now. But we try to make people feel comfortable, don't we? The best that we can. That's a good thing, but we need to really make sure we're helping them be comfortable with truth and not just feel good language. So, God knows this about life. It's difficult. It's frustrating. And he knows when sin entered, it just put a wrench in everything. Brokenness happened. What was to be is it was not happening anymore. Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. But God provides us with the end of the story to give us peace and give us comfort. Because he knows we're going to be living in a world that is very uncomfortable. Every situation in life can be uncomfortable or it can be pleasant. But there are more uncomfortable ones the more you deal with people, the more you take risks or you take a step out, and it can be difficult. But God wants us to know that it's the end of the story is he's victorious over sin and death. Satan's defeated, our true enemy, and he's going to give you a brand new body in a brand new place where this brokenness is not going to be a part of it, where true joy is going to pour out of us. We had a great worship this morning. We had a great prayer time this morning. And when you feel the presence of God and you go, wow, I don't want this to stop, that's what's going to happen in the end. For those who love him and want him to be a part of their lives, who want to serve Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you're mine, and you're going to be with me, and I want you to know that now, but I've got a job for you to do. I'm going to use you when you're here on earth to share this relationship you have with me to other people. But just know, it's going to be difficult sometimes. I'm going to ask you to do some difficult things. What are those, Lord? I can't tell you now. And the anxiety starts to build, doesn't it? But what if I would never do that? Don't ask me that. Come on now. Lord, would you tell me to actually do this? And you fill in the blanks with all of those. Maybe some popped in your mind. Well, I would never want to do this, or I would never want to go there. I would never want to live there. And then God says, I think I'm going to take you there. To show you that you will submit to me because you do love me in the end. And you will follow me. And I want to show you, and I don't want to let Satan get a foothold in your life either, where selfishness reigns and you do what you want to do over me, because I am the Lord God Almighty. But I want to tell you the end, that you're going to have a brand new life. It's going to be with me. It's going to be gorgeous and beautiful, unhindered. Sometimes in life I sit back and I think about those things when stresses and fears creep in, because that gives me comfort. Knowing that that's the truth of what God says is going to take place, and I can rest and assured in that. In the midst of whatever my situation is, it gives me hope. And that's what God does. He gives us hope by telling us the end, by telling his future. Not like the news. Not like the sports predictions or the weather predictions that sometimes are right and sometimes aren't, but his, whatever he says is true, and it always will come to pass. So as we continue through, do you have something that creates worry in your life? Think about that question as we're moving forward. Is there anything that you're scared of or fear might happen that you don't have any control over? Any control over. One of those situations that my wife and I had shared before has been years ago when we had our twins 11 years ago. There was this thing that triggered in me and into Michelle, was that we need to take care of them and protect them. We need to take care of them and protect them so much that literally, and this is no joke, literally, for the first 7 years of their lives, they were not out of our sight more than 15 seconds. Because we needed to protect them. Because we were scared they were going to get hurt. We were scared that somebody was going to take them out in our backyard. because you could drive by, cars would drive by, they see us all the time. People would know that we're kids there, and our kids are beautiful. They're gorgeous. They're fun. They're sweet. Who would not want to take them? That's what goes through in our mind. So we're watching them all the time. And God would say, you need to give them to me. You need to trust me with them. And in my mind, I sit back and I think, but Lord, you might take them from me. And he's like, true, but you got to trust me with them. Okay, I'll do that, Lord. So for 1 year, I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm not doing a good job of it. Elisha was almost hit by a car. How did he not get hit by a car? God stopped him before the car came out. And he should. I just protected him. You couldn't do that. It was out of your control. You had no idea the car was coming around the corner because it was blinded. I kept him safe. Thank you, Lord, for that. I need to give him over to you. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle. So we go down to New Covenant with a new pastor down there. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, Carissa, I mean, she's like a daredevil, you know. She's like always going, doing extreme sports. Seriously, as a little kid. I mean, she would do all these extreme things. I'm like, stop it, stop it. You're bothering me. And on top of that, our kids would always talk about going to heaven. I'm like, okay. Lord, are you going to take them home? And that's just where my thoughts would go. You're going to take them home early because that's my fear. And we go to New Covenant, we're pastoring there, and then a situation occurs, and I come home, and Michelle and I are talking about it, and it comes up that our fear, this fear that was overtaking us at this point, and we both acknowledged we are trying to care for our kids in an unhealthy way. It affected the way I handled their discipline, too rough with it, to stop it, don't do that, sit down. Just sit there. Don't do anything. Don't be a kid because I'm afraid you're going to get hurt. And I look back and I sit back and go, man, that's what fear does. That's what anxiety does. It stops us from doing the right, making good choices, good intent, but wrong conclusions. So we bawled, wept in her dad's kitchen as we talked about it. And the weeping came to the point of acknowledging, yes, Lord, they are yours, and you have the right to take them away from me. And you will get me through it. The pain is what scared me. I know they're going to be with Jesus, and they're going to be having a great time up there then. That doesn't bother me. That's exciting. They've already professed loving him, and they walk with him daily. We talk about those things. It wasn't a concern. It's the pain that I would go through being left behind. And God said, you're right, I might take them, but I will be here with you, and I will quench that pain, but it'll stay, and you'll have to deal with it. It'll be your new life, but I will get you through it day by day. And I don't know what that will look like as I'm talking with him. How is that going to look? But I know you'll be there. And I know your life. And you've always been faithful. And you never turn your back on me. So we wept that day, and it was freedom. And then the next night, putting Elisha to bed, he says, now, God's coming back soon. He's coming for me. And I cringed inside. And I said, God, are you taking him now? Because you got me ready for it. And I walked out the room. And God said, no, go back and ask him. Who told him that? No, I don't want to. Because if he says you, I'm going to fall on the ground. So I go back in. I said, okay, sweetheart, who told you you're going to go to heaven? Did Jesus tell you that? Has he spoken to you and said, I'm coming back for you? He looked at me and he said, no, Daddy, I just want to go to heaven. I said, okay, all right, but let's talk about life. God's got you here for a purpose. He'll take you home when it's time. And we talked about those things. And it was freedom. But I had to confront. And God showed me how to confront my fear with the truth. And the truth could have came out. Yes, Jesus did tell me, He's taking me home. And now to have to deal with that truth. But for me, the other truth was it. No, I just want to go home and be with Him. Okay, well, we can work with that one. Made my heart very happy, but it's still, the truth is still today. He could take them home at any time. And I have to remain in the same place, but there's a choice every day. Do I overprotect, or do I let Him be God in their lives and in mine? So do those situations create anxiety for you? Because they created great anxiety for me. And when I rest in Him, that He's going to take care of me through the pain, and you know there would be drastic pain, that's where my peace comes from. But oftentimes in our culture, since it's full of anxiety, fear, and hurt, you know, we're conditioned to stay away from pain as much as we absolutely can, and we don't like it. It's not natural, and it's a byproduct of that fallen nature. But we do things to deal with the pain, deal with frustration, deal with anxieties, and we do things like sometimes we might go to substances. And that could be drug abuse. It could be sugar intake. They say sugar is no different than drugs as far as the addiction is concerned with it. It could be caffeine. We could go to preoccupation of our minds. We could work a lot. We could study a lot. We could be just doing things to get our minds not to deal with the anxiety part. Or we try to control situations, like through eating or not eating. We can control what we put into our bodies. Or we control others. Or we do it by getting angry with people just to keep them away. So we build this wall up around us so that I don't have to deal with pain. So I don't have to deal with any anxiety, pain-producing relationship issues. So we try to handle them, and each of us handle them in different ways. But God is always saying, I want you to teeter on the peace side. I don't want you to handle those situations the way you want to handle them. I want you to handle them with me being a part of it. Will you let me be a part of it? God takes away those fears, and He helps us to be able to handle them properly, those situations in life. And then we can actually start helping other people and how to live trusting in the Lord. Sometimes we feel like those feelings that we might have, those anxieties that we have in our minds right now that we're thinking about, we might feel alone. Nobody else thinks like this. Nobody feels this way because we hide it really well. We put a great smile on. If you have Facebook, everybody looks happy on Facebook unless you get somebody who's real every once in a while and says, my life is terrible. And I want you all to know that. But most of the time, it's people are just putting on great facades. So you think I'm alone. Nobody wants to hear about my issues. Nobody wants to hear about my struggles. Just, you're alone. But you're not. You always have somebody. Please come and talk with me. Talk with somebody. You're not alone. If I ask the question, which I won't, but if I ask the question, who struggles with some type of anxiety in this room, multiple hands would go up. Doesn't mean you struggle with it all the time, but you do struggle with it at certain points in time. If I asked the question, who has ever struggled with anxiety, everybody's hand would probably go up. There might be one, two exceptions, but probably most of everybody would go up. So you're not alone in the situation that you're going through. But God desires for us to come to Him, but He knows that we often drive away from Him in our fears. We walk away from Him and we fill our lives with other things than Him. And Paul encourages us to go, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer, supplication, giving thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be made known to God. You have to go to Him and talk to Him to let them be made known to Him. God wants us to come to us because this is what He is. In Psalm 119:50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word revives me. The psalmist knows, he's experienced, he has gone through a life situation where God was the reviving part for him. He was his comfort. In Psalm 62, my God, my salvation, my glory, rest. The rock of my salvation and my refuge is in God. They have realized God is their safe place because they went to him at some point in life. If you have somebody that you know has gone to God, has a relationship with him, that might be somebody you want to talk with, because they have found their refuge in God, their peace in God alone. Psalm 91, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Jeremiah 16, O Lord, my strength, my stronghold, my refuge in the days of distress. These are men and women that have gone to God and have realized the truth of who God is in the life of a person. The stronghold, the safety net, the one who gives them strength, that revives them in their brokenness. That's what God wants to do in our own lives. When we're worried or anxious about something, place our trust in him and not in something else. Trusting takes our fears and faces them head on. Some fears are in our control, like maybe public speaking. You might be afraid of public speaking. Well, you can work your way out of being fearful of public speaking by practicing and doing something like that. Or getting a new job. Scared about the new job, but you go to that new job and you learn the job and you get more comfortable with it and you overcome those fears. Some of those fears are in your control, but some fears are rooted in the unknown, and they can range from rejection to utterly life-altering situations that can be catastrophic. I heard a story about a young gentleman in high school in a JV football game, 15 years old, made a tackle or was tackled, paralyzed. Life-altering situation. You know, going into a sport, there's a possibility. But that didn't stop. There wasn't a fear of, I'm going to get hurt today. But now, dealing with the after effects, what fears and anxieties can be produced from that? I could imagine a whole bunch. Some things are out of our control. Ultimately, I can let them go by how much I trust God, how much I trust Jesus. One I'd already mentioned, if a loved one dies, will he truly get me through? And it's a question we ask ourselves. What do we think about who God is? And it's okay if you don't know God yet. He wants us to come to him and ask him, would you, God, get me through this situation? And let God show you that he will. The Old Testament, filled with prophecies about the future to give a hope and to give a peace, and God fulfilled every single one of them that needed to be fulfilled right now. And there's some for the end time coming. And he does that so he shows us, you can trust me. I'm true to my word. If I say it, it's true and it will take place. If I say I will walk with you, I will do it. If I say I will give you comfort, I will do it. You can't give yourself comfort, I will give you comfort. I will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. I will do that because this is what I promise I will do. Come to me. Let me show you. Let me show you. So if you don't know God very well, it's okay. He wants to show you himself. Just bring your fears to him. If I lose my job, will he guide me to another one? Will he provide for me? If you ask him, he will show you how he will do it. And he will lead and guide you. That's his promise. Are you willing to walk with him in it? And there's the question that we have to ask ourselves. But that it always comes back to, is God more trustworthy than my fear or pain about the situation? He will always bring us back to that. Is God more trustworthy? God will show you that he is. If you've been walking with the Lord for a period of time, you have seen him show his trustworthiness, his faithfulness over and over and over again, where some things you were fearful about before, you're not fearful about now. Isn't that true? because you've seen him, how he gets you through this step, the next step, as you trust him and walk with him. Our peace only comes when we trust in God alone. That's why he says, be anxious about nothing, because if you're anxious about nothing, your fear, your trust is completely in God. It's when we fear about certain things, I have taken some of my trust and have taken it away from God and placed it on the fearful thing. And God is saying, trust in me and give me the whole thing. Let me trust me in all of it. So how do we do this? How do we trust God? Well, relationships are built on trust completely. Your most intimate relationship with your husband and wife, your relationship is as deep as your trust is for each other. Your relationships with your friends, they're as deep as they trust one another. If there's not a trust with your relationships with your friends, you don't have a very deep relationship with them. You won't pour into them your fears, your hurts, your joys, because you don't know what they're going to do with it. They're going to turn against you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to use it against you. Do they have the best interest for you? So your relationships are built on trust. So they stand or fall in that. God was not trusted in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. So disobedience came from that. Why? Well, the enemy is very good at bringing doubt, bringing deception. And if we listen to the enemy, we could listen to, he can create some doubt by not trusting what God said, which can produce fear and pride, and fall of man happens. But God, in the midst of even that, was proving his faithfulness and his trustworthiness from that very get-go, as when Adam and Eve broke down and fell apart. As much as enemy is trying to create deception in your life about who God is and you can't trust him completely, God is pouring in and come to me. Let me show you how much you can trust me. You know, God made a way from he said in the beginning, he said, he made a way that without corruption, he's going to provide a safe place for mankind in heaven. I'm going to provide that in the future. He escaped death and sin through the death of Jesus on the cross. So when as death entered, he said, I'm going to make it possible so that you have death and sin is going to be wiped away. And again, he's going to make everything new one day. Uncorrupted, beautiful, relationship unhindered. So we need to take a step towards trusting him in what he says he's going to do and what he has already started. He's true to his word. He's faithful in 2 Thessalonians 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's what Paul encourages, that because that's the truth of what God does. He's faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5, he is faithful as he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Whatever God says, it will take place and it will happen. 2 Timothy 2, if we're faithless, guess what? He remains faithful. In that passage in 2 Timothy, there's two situations he talks about, and it's a yes, yes, a no, no, and then a no, yes. And the no, yes is the when we're faithless, he's faithful, yes. Because he cannot deny who he is. So after we come to this point where we can trust his character and we can share our concerns with gratefulness, because I will gratefully want to bring my frustrations, my fears to him, because I know he's got the answer. He's got my back. He's going to lift me up and carry me and move with me through these situations so I can bring them to him with joy and confidence that I'm not alone and I can trust him with my next step. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. You bring your situations to God, it shows you, God, I love you and I trust you. And because I love and trust you, you promise you will walk with me because you love me. Isn't that a beautiful truth? Isn't that a comforting thought that you can walk in? So we bring our frustrations and our concerns with joy to him. Speak the word in truth in your situation. Titus 2:13, knowing for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of God, our great King, Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. The truth is, you can trust him because he gave himself for you. He loves you so much that he said, I'm going to die on the cross in your place so that you can have this relationship of trust. You can trust me. You can walk with me because I'm giving you an opportunity to. I'm making a way for you. Not because of anything you've done and how great you are, because you're broken, but I will mend you and I will take your brokenness and place it on me so that we can have this deep relationship. It's absolutely beautiful. John 3:16 talks about he gave his life for the world, that whoever believes in him, they won't perish, they'll have eternal life. His love is great. He says, I will love, in John 14, I will love him and I will disclose myself to him. I will continually, it's about this relationship. I will show you who I am. I will not stop giving myself to you. And he says in Matthew 7, for everyone who receives, who asks, receives, who seeks, finds, and who knocks, it shall be opened. This relationship that is built on trust, that he has our best interest for us so that we know who he is and we can walk with him deeply, trusting him in every situation. So as we conclude this morning, are there areas in your life that you're struggling trusting God with? He just wants you to bring it to him, and he will prove himself to you. There's not one question, there's not one fear that is outside of the realm of him being able to answer it for you and giving you the comfort that you need, that nobody else can give. No other substance, no other situation, nothing. Only he can give it to you. And this week as we go, will you give him the opportunity to share this with you? Give you the opportunity to share himself? Because it is up to us. It's our choice to go to him or not, to allow him, or just continue to move through our days trying to work through life the best that we can. And I encourage you to go to him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your encouragement that you are true, you're faithful. There is nowhere else that we can turn that has the answers of life. And you are freely willing to give us the answers, to give us comfort, to give us peace, to give us security in you alone. Lord, help us this week to bring our fears, our frustrations, our anxieties, to lay them at your feet by bringing them to you and sharing them with you and letting you give the peace that needs to happen, that we can actually rest in your presence. Lord, we thank you. And all God's children said, amen.